Look at this house. Look around and see all the people that are here today. Isn't this fantastic? Holiday weekend, you could have been laking. Yeah, you could have been just sitting out in the sun, barbecuing. But what did you do? You came to the house of the Lord because there's hunger. Let me tell you what I see in this building this morning. Number one, I see unity. I see excitement. You're about to be faced with change, and I don't see an ounce of fear in this building. No. I see people saying, I'm ready for the challenge. Let that mountain be removed in front of me. I don't see fear in this house. I don't see worry in this house. I don't see stress in this house. I tell you what I see. I see a group of people that says God is going to do something that's going to blow people's minds. I think whatever you're dreaming of, whatever you're thinking of, whatever you feel is possible that God has planned, you need to just wad it up, throw it away, and say, no, it's bigger than that. It's larger than that. It's going to reach further than that. Because God has great things in store for this group. I love being here today with my friends and family. Amen. I have had a wonderful time over the last several years developing relationship. Amen. With Pastor Warren, with Adam, Pam, the whole crew. And then got to go to Israel this year. And just, man, what a time. Woo! It was wonderful. Being in the presence of God, in the presence of friends, hearing the word of God, seeing things in a totally different way as we begin to see it just unfold before our eyes, the events that we've read about. I told someone, I think it may have been Steve, we were talking, we see things in our mind as we read it in the word of God. You know, we're visual people, and we like to visualize things and see things. Then you get over and you go, man, I visualized that totally wrong. That is not how it is. And then you get to walk in that land and see where these miracles were done and these things was performed, and you just get a whole new grasp. I came home with a whole new perspective. But I tell you what else I came home with. I came home with a family and friends. I just absolutely enjoyed every moment. And I want to speak to that just for a second here. There is a character in this church. And when I say character, I'm not talking about an individual. I know your mind's thinking there is some characters in here. But I'm talking about a corporate personality of love and unity. If you're a guest here today, we welcome you and we thank you for being here. But I want you to know that you are loved this morning. And what you see around you has not been put on. This is genuine. This is actually what this church is and the character of this church. It is unity. It is faith. It is love. It is compassion. It is outreach. So when you see that and you feel that this morning, know that's genuine and that is real. And I applaud this group of people for being that. And I thank you for being that. And it's my honor to be here today. And now you may not have much to praise God for, but let me tell you, I do. I actually got here on Wednesday night late, checked into the hotel, got to bed around midnight. And my wife calls at 1 o'clock and says, you need to come back home. I was like, I just got here. I'm going to spend tomorrow with Pastor and kind of check things out and then have some good times maybe in Gatlinburg. Several of the guys from our church rolled their motorcycles up and we was going for a ride. She goes, no, you're coming home. I said, okay, what's going on? She goes, baby girl, our daughter, our youngest, they're inducing her labor as we speak. And you're going to have a grandbaby here pretty soon. Amen. So I get to the hospital. And I get deflated. I walk in the elevator, and I said, I'm going to the fifth floor. Everybody knows that's the maternity ward. And the lady kind of looked at me. She goes, well, I'm going to assume you're the grandpa and not the dad. And I went, do I look that old? I mean, do I really look that old? It could be. I could be. But I was grandpa. After 3 days of struggle, yesterday morning at 8:29, we had a little 3-pound, 15-ounce baby girl. Amen. Lillianne. And so I've got something to thank God for because she's healthy. Amen. My baby girl, Adriana's healthy. Amen. They'll get to come home sometime next week. But now I officially have moved into a whole new status in life. Amen. Now they can call me grandpa now. Amen. But we are thankful for that. I have not got to see her yet. I left as soon as she was born to head this way because I wanted to be with you today and to minister to you in this important time. It's been kind of neat how God orchestrates things out and works things out. And as Pastor Shane was beginning this work in ministry, he preached at our church a revival. And following that month, he began there in the barn and in the loft there and started having ministry here in Cookeville. And then we came up and visited just 2 weeks before you moved into this building. So we got to see this building before all the remodel and all the effort and all the things that's been put here. And when you look at this building, you see vision everywhere you go. Amen. You see it. You see it on the walls. You see it on people's face. You hear it in what they're saying. They're excited, not about what they've had, about their future. And let me just say this before we get into the word this morning. You know, sometimes you can get stuck in what you get comfortable in. And this is a comfortable setting other than we are packed in here this morning. Amen? And that is great. But you can't get stuck in something because it's comfortable. And you can't get stuck in something just because it fits. One of my good friends, his name's Tim Gann, but I won't call him by name, but his wife bought him a real nice pair of shoes. And he'd never had Johnson & Murphy shoes before. And he was walking around, honey, these are comfortable. I don't ever want to take them off. And he slept in them in bed. And he walked around the house in them. And he loved those shoes. But one day, there come a 4-inch rain in 2.5 hours in Cookeville, Tennessee. How many knows that? He decided to go outside because things was happening in his yard and bricks was washing down from his neighbor's house. And he runs outside to look at it, and he hadn't took his Johnson & Murphy's off, and he stepped into the ground, and he sunk about that deep into the mud. I said, Tim, what'd you do? He said, I had to make a decision. I loved those shoes. I didn't want to take them off. I wore them for days on the end, didn't even change socks. They are so comfortable. They're my favorite shoes. And he cried a little bit out in his yard as he realized, I can either stay in something I'm very comfortable in, or I can be stuck out here in the rain. I got to make a decision to step out of what I'm comfortable in and take a step back so I can go get my boots on and get out here and get to work. Sometimes in life, you get comfortable in situations, you get comfortable in certain environments, you get comfortable in certain rooms or certain arenas, and God says, I need you to get uncomfortable, because what you're comfortable in is also what you're stuck in. And until you release that so that you can move forward, you're never going to advance anywhere. So we are at that point today, where this has been comfortable, this has been great. You have expanded, you have grown, you have met the need that this building can produce, but you have met the ceiling of what this building can produce, what this location can do. People are driving by and not able to find a place to park. That's a great problem to have, but it is a problem. To have everybody in here corporately together fills this whole room. That's great, but that is a problem because we need more room for more people. Which means we may have to take off our comfortable shoe, step into something that's uncomfortable for a season so that we can continue to progress in God. Amen. And as I look across this room, I don't see people like Tim that's got tears in their eyes. You're not standing in the yard crying today. You're in here with a smile on your face. You're in here with excitement. Everybody that I talked to in the foyer, everybody I talked to in the welcoming room, you know what it was about? We can't wait for the move. We can't wait to see what God is going to do next. Amen. I believe there's an air of excitement in this place, of expectation of what God is going to do next. And I want to speak towards that just for a little while today. I want to come in the beginning here in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Book of Ephesians chapter 6. Very familiar passage. I just want to tell you this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, everybody say stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, your King James says, above all, above all. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. You're like the children of Israel. You've came to a place where the Jordan River is at, and it's time to advance into a promised land. Amen. But before you advance, you got to get suited up and ready to go to the next level. We want to minister on that this morning, fiery darts. If you'll bow your heads. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you to be here with family, to be here with friends today. I thank you for the relationships you have built with us. And God, we know that it's for the kingdom's benefit that we have formed these relationships. And Lord, I just pray today, help us express the word that is in my heart that you have given to these people today. If we do it right, they're going to leave encouraged. If we do it right, they're going to leave uplifted. If we do it right, they're going to believe they can conquer the world. So help me do it right, Lord, because we want to advance and fulfill your will in this region. Bless this word in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. It has been a year since I had the wonderful opportunity for the first time to minister here. It was in May of last year. And I want to remind you what I ministered on that day. Some of you remember, you've already talked to me about it. But out of 2 Kings chapter 4, I told the story of Elijah. Elijah being the prophet. Elijah having a demand put on him. The man of God had a demand put on him that was bigger than him. And you need to realize, if the plan that the man of God gives you isn't bigger than the man of God, the plan didn't come from God. Amen. God will give you things that are way above your ability, way above your resources, way above the access that you have, just to prove that he is God and that he can do things that man cannot do, provide in ways that man cannot provide. So the demand was given to the prophet. The prophet travels over 80 miles over a rough, rocky area into foreign country where there's enemies there. And he, in turn, places what? A demand upon a widow woman. God placed the demand on the prophet that was greater than him. He in turn finds a desolate widow woman and puts a demand on her that was greater than she was. All she had was a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour. She's going to bake a cake. Her and her son's going to eat it. They're going to lay down. They're desperate. They're hopeless. They've given up. She's going to bake this cake. They're going to eat it and they're going to die. This is the last she has. This is everything she has. And the prophet says, go bake me a cake and give it to me. He asks of her to give everything that she has. And in doing that, she obeys. And so our topic the last time I hear was this. It was the cycle of blessing. The cycle of blessing is that God will put the demand on the man of God. The man of God will put the demand on the people. The people will react in obedience, and God will provide the resources. You got to remember the point of the story. The oil never ran dry, and the cabinets always had flour in it, always had meal in it, enough for her, her family, and the prophet of God to be ministered to. So the man of God was never in lack. The woman that was obedient was never in lack. And that is the cycle of blessing, that God will put the demand on the man of God. The man of God will pass it to the people. The people will act in obedience, and God will supply an unlimited resource. Amen. Now, that was a year ago, the word that God gave this house as I came and ministered. You just seen it on the screen. Wednesday night, the man of God has called a meeting so that everyone will come together to begin to declare there's a demand on his life that is greater than he is, and he needs your support and your help to see it happen. And what's going to take place is this house is going to act in obedience. And they're going to rise up and they're going to meet the need that is there. And in your obedience of going over and above that you normally do and making sacrifice of what you have now and doing what you're doing now, God is going to say, I'm going to multiply. I'm going to develop. I'm going to grow. Their cabinets are never going to run dry. There may be a famine in the land. There was a famine in that day. But the prophet said, you're never going to be without food until God sends rain once again. We may go into a recession. We may may see things happen in politics. Debt ceilings may never get raised. But can I tell you, if you obey the demand that's put upon the man of God, your cabinets aren't going to run dry. The cycle of blessings will begin to take place and happen. You're going to meet the needs of the house of God. You're going to meet the needs of the man of God. And it's going to be a blessing that trickles to you. And God will fulfill his purpose that he has for this church. That'll be the cycle of blessings and resources that'll take place here. In Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So a year ago, I prophesied unto you, heavy demands are coming from your man of God. Amen. And we sit here today and we are seeing that you have responded in obedience. You have responded joyfully. And because you've responded joyfully, you can look at your neighbor and say, not only is the church going to be blessed, not only is the man of God going to be blessed, but the promise of God is me and my house shall be blessed too. God's going to take care of you because you've done it with a joyful heart. You've done it with a grateful heart. And God is going to have that cycle of blessing take place. Pastor's going to lay out, let's just say it what it is. He's about to lay out the next steps of movement. What that movement really is the next steps moving to the next level of ministry, the next level of anointing for the bend to move into. You've reached your potential in this location. Simply put, you can't contain anything else in here than what you have right now. Evident that on a holiday weekend, there's not a seat open in this house. Yeah. Amen. Give God praise. So now we have reached the maximum efficiency here of this location, so we've got to expand the borders. We got to expand the tent. We got to move to a bigger place. We got to move to a bigger location. So I've come here to proclaim an apostolic anointing. This house shall prosper. This house, this ministry will advance. The kingdom of God will take this region and this area by storm. Outreach will increase into new areas. You shall be a witness of Christ into this area. As I pray for the bend and been praying for this church now for over 2 years, the Lord has told me it's like a megaphone being held up to the mouth of Shane Warren, that God is going to magnify his voice in this area, in this region, and in this nation. And through this town and through this area and through this region, you better get ready, because the heavens are about to open up and the presence of God is about to pour out and his glory is getting established here in this region, in this area. If you haven't got connected yet, if you hadn't got plugged in yet, let me tell you, don't tarry, don't wait. Get plugged in now. Get connected to the ministry now, because what God is going to do in this area and in this region will be bigger than you've ever dreamed or imagined. This will be, let me just say it like this. You said at the prefaces of either being an ordinary church or a movement of exponential advancement. This place is going to be kingdom-minded, a training ground of God's miraculous power and miracles. I just feel a release in this house today. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't come to pump you up. I didn't come to build you up. I didn't come to give you false words so you leave happy and then you're troubled tomorrow. I'm here to release something into the atmosphere today to let you know God has some glorious plans for this place and the kingdom of God's about to advance in this area. You better get ready. I want to hear the voice of the Lord begin to speak like he did to those that were in Jerusalem tarrying till the promise came. And he says, "Tarry here. I will endue you with power. You will be a witness of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth." I just kind of hear that same voice speaking in Cookeville, Tennessee today, saying, "I want you to tarry here, wait and see my promise come, because it's coming to Cookeville, it's coming to Putnam County, it's coming all the way into Tennessee, it's going to spread into Ohio, it's going to spread into Georgia, it's going to spread into North Carolina. You will be a witness of Christ to this whole entire region of the world, into the USA, because God has called you to do that. Your pastor has a vision and a demand on him from God to advance the kingdom. I want to know who's on board with it today. Come on, who's on board in this house? I don't think it's 30. I don't think it's 50. I don't even think it's 80. It appears that 100% of the congregation is buying in and saying, we're on board. We're going with you, pastor. We're supporting you, pastor. Whatever Pam and whatever Shane does, you're there with them, and you're working hand in hand with them. You're going to share that burden with them. I believe it. So let's talk about advancement this morning. Let's talk about what it takes to advance. Any advancement in the kingdom of God will always face opposition. You are establishing something, and I want you to understand it. And Shane had no idea what I was speaking on, and I had no idea what he was speaking on. And I went back and listened Wednesday night, and I said, this is all right in line. That last song nails it. You may have to sing it again before we go when you hear what I release at the end of this. You are establishing God's reign here on earth. You're not establishing church. You're not establishing social gathering. You are establishing God's reign and lordship here on the earth. And because the hearts of men are born in sin and are cursed by it, mankind is resistant to a God who can both judge and save. I'll get deeper into that in just a moment. But their hearts are going to be resistant to give up land and territory, physically and spiritually, that they possess and they hold. King David said it in this manner in Psalm 51 and 5. King David was awesome. David was great. He accomplished great things. But look at what he says about himself. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David understands it. He said, from my very birth, I was cursed. From my very birth, I was born into iniquity. And those are the things that I had to overcome. That is the shape mentally and spiritually of those that are born here on the earth. It is in compromise to God. So when you begin to advance, the advancement that's taking place is we are taking back what sin has stolen in the kingdom of God. Spiritually, the heavens have warfare going on. Your pastor's already taught you this week. And spiritually, you have the ability to punch through the heavens and have an open heaven over you. And I want to declare into this church today, that is what God is preparing, that's what God is doing, and that's what God has already began and what he's going to continue to do. The heavens are about to open up above you. Though man is born in sin and resistant to give up their authority to God and their territory to God, God is preparing you, he is arming you, and he is making you ready to go take the kingdom of God by storm and expand the kingdom of God in this area and in this region. Now, you got to realize the mindset of humanity. Eve enters into a garden, and she is persuaded by the enemy to eat of the tree there. And as she eats of that, a curse comes upon her life because she is promised what? The day you do this, you shall be as God. So the mindset that enters into humanity is we have the right to have territory. We have the right of ownership of ourselves. We have the right of ownership of everything that causes mankind to refuse to submit to the will of God. Because in our mind, what happens? Sin has warped our thinking in our mind to think we deserve, and we do not come submissive to God's reign. So it's not easy for humanity to give up territory because they feel they deserve it. So when the church is called to advance the kingdom, we have to realize it's not a walk through the park. It's not an easy thing to gain because we're having to overcome the effect of sin on humanity and the mindset that is there that they deserve power, they deserve authority, they deserve land, they deserve territory, they deserve everything that the world has to offer. So advancement always is met with opposition. And the misperception that exists in the church today is that God exists to remove every obstacle if he has a promise on your life. God's promised you things. God's promised you gifts. Some of you have words that have been prayed over you, spoken over you. God has spoke things into your life. The Spirit's been speaking to your heart. And because of that, you may think things are going to happen. They're just going to take place naturally. They're going to take place in time. They're going to take place But can I tell you, they're not going to take place without opposition. And the misperception is things go easy and God removes every obstacle. But I want to give you a word this morning. If something is a struggle, that doesn't mean that God is not in it. Don't run from a fight. Don't give up because it's not easy. Don't give up just because you face opposition. Don't ever give up just because someone speaks evil against what you're trying to do. Let me let you in on something. You're in the army of God this morning, and you are not looking for God to remove every opposition, and God's not going to remove every opposition because there's some strength that comes through the battle. There's some strength that comes through going to war, and there's some things that God wants to do and show up in His mighty power so that it's not just removed, but that it's vanquished, that it's destroyed. There's some enemies that's coming against you that God's not wanting to hide in the corner somewhere. He's wanting to destroy those things in your life. He's wanting to remove those things in your life. And sometimes it requires you to take up your shield of faith. It takes you up taking the sword of the Spirit and fighting the good fight of faith to destroy what the enemy has coming against you. There is opposition this church is facing. In the region, in the community, in the kingdom, because you are advancing, you are growing, because God's favor is upon you, because His power is upon you, because His anointing is upon you. There is opposition that you're naturally going to face because the enemy wants to hinder. That doesn't mean God isn't in it. That just means God is about to destroy the voices of those that are speaking up against it, and He's empowering you, and He is strengthening you. Don't pray, God, remove it. Say, God, help me to destroy that that's stepping against me. Help me to destroy that that's coming against me. Get me ready for the battle. So if we're going to talk about fighting and talk about a struggle, then we have to realize we're in an army. There's not a victor if there's never a contest. There's not a conqueror if you're not taking back territory. There's not a fighter if there's not a fight. There's not a warrior if there's not a battle. You can't call yourself an overcomer if you don't stand in the face of opposition. God's not going to remove the opposition. He simply wants you to say, I will be victorious over every opponent that stands before me. Everything the devil tries to fire at me. Every fiery dart that comes my way, I will stand victorious. I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to tell him, I am the weapon of God through the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're not just here in flesh and blood. You are the weapon of God in the Holy Ghost. You're the staff in the hand of Moses that gets held up while the Red Sea splits on the other side. You're a sling and a rock in the hand of David as he begins to sling it at his giant. You're the sword in the hand of Eleazar who cleaves to the sword and says, I'm going to fight and I'm not going to let go. You can't pry this sword out of my hand. You're the cattle prod in the hand of Shamgar that says, come on, Philistines, but not this year. You won't take away my field. You won't take away my food. You need to realize, tell your neighbor this, you're the jawbone of an ass in the hands of Samson. Get it right. Say jawbone. You're the jawbone of an ass in the hands of Samson, ready to destroy 1,000 Philistines that may come their way. You are in the hands of God through the Holy Ghost, a weapon that will defy the enemy, that will destroy the enemy, that will send the enemy running. So you need to say, I'm in the army and I'm not going to run from opposition. I'm not going to hide from the opposition. I'm not going to go and hide in a cave somewhere until the battle is over. But I'm going to stand up and say, God, you're going to work this out and you're going to do it through me. I want to put myself in the hands of God and say, use me as a weapon against the enemy. Quiet the voices of those that come against me. Philippians 2 and 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. I don't know if you heard the key word there, but it's God that is working in you. So God is going to bring victory to the men, but victory will not come to you. It'll come through you. Amen. Victory's not going to be laid at your feet. Victory's going to be laid in your hands. God is going to use your mouth. He's going to use your mind. He's going to use your hands to bring victory to this community through the bend. He's not going to remove it. He's going to do it through you. So let's talk about being dressed for success. The Apostle Paul says, put on the full armor of God. He starts with the belt of truth. I'm going to hit these real quick until we get to the key point. The belt of truth is simply a leather belt that covers men. We're adults, kids are downstairs. The belt of truth covered the important region of a man that represented his reproductive future. The strap would go down long ways. It did have places to hold small shields. It did have places to put swords in. But the primary function of the belt for a soldier was protection in his reproductive areas, to protect his legacy and to protect his future. That's why it's called the belt of truth, because a lie will destroy your future. A lie will prevent you from moving forward. You need to have the belt of truth on this morning to say, I'm not going to let a lie kill my future. I'm going to protect my future with the truth. A lie in the garden costed Adam and Eve their children, their boys, and their blessed life that they had. Don't let a lie kill your legacy. Don't let a lie kill your future. Live in truth. In the season right now for the being, what is a lie? A lie is you need to give up. A lie is it's just time to quit. A lie in this season says the battle's just too hard for you. You need to do it somewhere else. A lie in this season says it's easier not to proceed and move forward. Don't let a lie steal your future, and don't let a lie steal your legacy. Don't let a lie steal your family. You need to put on the belt of truth and say, guess what? I'm made more than a conqueror. Guess what? I'm the head and not the tail. Guess what? I will overcome. There's ministries to launch. There's souls to be saved. There's lives to be changed, and I'm going to believe a truth over the lie. I'm going to arm myself and put on the belt of truth so that my future is not stolen from me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and to give you a future. If the enemy's telling you anything different, say, that's a lie, devil. And I got on the belt of truth. I'm not going to hear that lie. Second thing is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the front torso of the soldier. It's vital organs, the lungs, the heart, there that's protecting from mortal wounds. And I just want to say it in this manner and move real quickly. You got to protect your heart. Amen. You have to protect your heart. The enemy wants to deliver a wound to your heart. I can breathe with one lung. I was born with one kidney, and I lived just fine with it. But you take away my heart. A wound to the heart can be deadly. A wound to the heart can be fatal. The heart represents the place of emotions, of feelings, of discernment. And the enemy this morning is after your heart. So you have to be careful what you let penetrate into your heart. So the breastplate of righteousness protects you from allowing the enemy, allowing hurtful words, allowing someone to bring something into your life that you don't need there and penetrate into your heart. The enemy will shoot arrows of bitterness at you, arrows of judgmentalness after you, after criticalness after you. He will shoot arrows of unforgiveness after you. And you got to protect your heart from those things. Amen? I'm going to be nice, but I'm going to be firm. Anytime there is change, there's always those that complain. We're creatures of habit, and we get comfortable with things being in a certain form and program. And you mess that up, it messes everything up. I like change. I'm kind of odd that way. I was president of the Lions Club, and for over 70 years, they met in the same building and had the seats set up the same way. And to me, it made zero sense because the speaker would speak here, and the men's bathroom was right behind them. And I called in a great basketball coach. He had coached in the Final Four at LSU, coached at other places. He came in. He's giving a great speech. And while he's trying to give his speech, there's an 80-year-old man in the bathroom. Hear the toilets flushing. I know it's crude. It's truth. And so the next Wednesday when we met, I talked to the people that set the building up. I said, move that podium to the fireplace in the middle of the room and get it away from the bathrooms. I almost got stoned. We got to the next board meeting. I begin the board meeting, and one of the men raised their hand and says, I need to change the agenda. I said, okay, what do you got? You moved the podium. It hadn't been moved in 70 years. I said, well, sir, didn't it kind of make sense to move it? That's not the point. You moved it. Well, I said, well, guess what? I'm not moving it back. Let's get back to the agenda. Do you know to this day, that's been over 15 years ago, to this day, that podium is still in the middle of the room. They hate change so much, they won't even change the change that I made. And that's how people are. They simply do not like change. And anytime there is change, there's going to be that voice that's going to rise up and it's going to complain. And when you're on board with something and you're putting your heart into it, the last thing you want to hear is negative Nancy over there, or, you know, Karen speaking up and saying her feelings and telling you how she feels. And if you're not careful, it'll get in your heart. You'll get upset at them, and then you'll get downtrodden. And then you're like, well, I don't even want to mess with this anymore either. The breastplate of righteousness means I'm going to protect my heart. I'm not going to let negative stuff enter in. Don't play on negative gossip. Don't play on bad reports. Cast it down. Cast it out. Do whatever. Just da-da-da-da-da-da and just speak in tongues. Whatever you got to do, put your hand up. Say, talk to the hand, because the brain don't understand. I'm not listening to that negative stuff. I'm going to pass it on. That guy over there wants to hear it, but I don't want to hear it. Just go on. Oh, I need to move on, but let me tell you, change can be fun. Make change fun. Change is okay. It can be fun, because here's what change does. Change carries momentum with it. Change carries momentum with it. This is off topic, but I'm going to say, I did a study when I was taking some marketing classes, and it was actually talking about an old TV station called MTV. Now, back before internet and YouTube and TikTok, you know, all the trends were set by MTV. But what they would do different from any other broadcasting station was, if there was a good show on, they would run it for season, until all the ratings begin to drop. Then they'd run it for two or three more seasons in the ground, and it would die. MTV had a different strategy. MTV would take a show at its peak and cancel it. Because they knew culture changed every 2 years, and they would be behind the culture if they kept something broadcasted on their station that was no longer relevant. So they became agents of change, and they prospered for it. Culture changes every 2 years, and culture in the church changes every 30 years. Because we don't like change. Make change fun. I said, make change fun. I don't care if you got to take your golf cart and take it to that college campus and go pick people up because they may have to park somewhere off. Go do it and have fun with it. Laugh with them. Carry on with them. Take them out. Whatever you got to do, make the change fun. Change is going to come because change is needed for growth. You can make it fun, and it will carry momentum with it. Don't get stuck. Flow with the change. Don't complain about the change. Get excited about the change. Move with it, because God does things through change. He may have to change your location. He may have to change your environment. He may have to change your mindset. He may have to change your habits, but God will progress you through change. I'll move on. But the gospel of peace, got to have the right shoes on. Tim's got those new shoes he likes. Got to have the right shoes on, right? I prefer these shoes. Where's Kevin at? Kevin can amen me on this. Big men need to be founded from the ground up. So when a big man wears uncomfortable shoes, they're not happy. I work in a bank, and I got to wear dress shoes, and I'm not happy during the day. And as soon as I go home, I throw those shoes, and I go put on my comfortable shoes, and then I'm happy. I'm in a better space. There's people been denied loans because of shoes I had on. You caught me on a bad day. These shoes are pinching my feet. My bunion hurts. You're not getting that new car. Yeah. So you got to wear the right shoes. And he calls the right shoes the gospel of peace. You got to be peaceful from the feet up. I said, you got to be peaceful from the feet up. I need to move on with this, but let me tell you, you need to be people of peace. You need to be people of peace. Because if you're not peaceful, progress cannot take place. If you're not living in peace, there's a whole lot I want to say, and I'm not going to say it. But you got that grouchy person you live with at home. Don't look, don't look. You get to the family reunion, you know that one that you hope don't show up. Because it doesn't matter what you cooked. It doesn't matter what you prepared. It don't matter how hard you worked on it. They're going to come in and go, Yeah, they can't have peace. They got to have a conflict. They've never lived in peace. They don't know what peace means. They don't know what peace is. They've always got to stir the pot. They always got to have a problem. And you'd just rather be without them. And when you get that in the church, and you got people that don't want to come to church because they don't want to be around that person. And if you're that person, we got an altar just in a moment. I'm going to pray for you. Because you have been called to grow. You've been called to advance. You've been called to expand. You've been called to take this region by storm. And if you don't have the gospel of peace, but you got the gospel of irritation, the gospel of frustration, yeah, living like you got bunions on your feet instead of living in peace, you're not going to attract anybody to church. But let me tell you something why I like these shoes. I like these shoes, first of all, because they are light. I mean, they are. They are light. I would throw it, but it smells. They are light. Trust me, it is light. So it's light on my feet. Makes my feet happy. You need to be light. You need to be light. You need to cast off the burdens that you are carrying and all the baggage that you have in your life and find deliverance this morning. If you're carrying around weights that you've carried for 20 or 30 years, you're not light-footed, you're heavy-footed. And if you're heavy-footed, you're never going to be happy and you're never going to have the peace of God. But God has given you the ability today to find liberty and to find freedom. And he that the Son has set free is free indeed. And if you're bound up this morning and you're carrying baggage this morning, if you're still crying over hurts from 10 and 20 years ago this morning, you need to have the gospel of peace in your life to know that he can set you free this morning. You need to get light on your feet. You know why you need to be light on your feet? Because God's moving you from a barn to a... Come on. You moved from a barn to a hotel to a medical facility to a church. Now you're moving to a college. If you're not light on your feet, you can't keep up with this church. You're not light on your feet. You don't know where they're meeting at next. You're carrying around baggage. You don't know what direction the church is. Where's Shane at next? Where did he go? I showed up church. No one was there. That's because they done moved, and you're too heavy on the feet. You got to be light on the feet. Get rid of the mess in your life. Get rid of the baggage in your life. Give it to God and let God set you free this morning in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you why I like this shoe. Look at that. It is flexible. It is. Look, I had that thing wadded up in my suitcase like this. It made more space like that. It's flexible. If you're going to go where the bend is going, you're going to have to get flexible. You can't be so rigid when pastor says we're changing this up. We're going to do this program. I'm announcing something new this Wednesday. I'm announcing something new this next Sunday. You can't be so rigid and go, why is he changing things again? Get flexible. Because you're a whole lot peaceful when you're flexible. Don't make me do marriage counseling in here. Come on. Husband, if you're so rigid, you gripe about everything going on in the house, get flexible. Women, everything he does is wrong, get a little bit flexible. You know why else I like this shoe? It rebounds right back. Back like, well, almost. There we go. I got funny looking feet. I'm like an elf. It rebounds. It can get bent out of shape, but it comes back to its original form. There's some things about change that will bend you out of shape. But the next morning, you can say, weeping endured through the night. I was upset yesterday, but joy's back today. I'm going to rebound right back. I'm going to be back. I'm going to be fit for the kingdom. I'm going to labor and I'm going to work. I'm not going to sit and hold it against it. They didn't sing my song and they didn't do it how I wanted. That program got cut and I thought it was a good program. I'm a little bent right now. I'm a little upset right now, but I'm going to get right back in the program. And just because they're doing some things different now, it's okay. I may be upset today, but tomorrow joy will come and I'm going to be right back where I need to be. In the kingdom of God. The helmet of salvation. I am going somewhere. The helmet of salvation protects my mind. protects that playground that the enemy so viciously wants to attack. And your ability to advance starts right here, because God will place vision and imagination into your heart, into your mind. And you need to protect it with the breastplate of righteousness. You need to protect your head with the helmet of salvation. You need to get up and remind yourself, I'm saved. You need to get up and remind yourself, I'm an overcomer. You need to get up and remind yourself, I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to quit, because victory's mine. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, kind of explains itself. But above all, he said, above all, take up the shield of faith. Paul makes a special emphasis here in Ephesians on taking up the shield of faith. An importance is there. So I begin to study that shield, Adam, and that shield's about 2 foot wide, about 4 foot high, about as big as you. My man. It's about 2 feet wide, about 4 feet high, all of wood and covered in leather. Pretty heavy, but they're strong soldiers. They can carry it around. And so the Roman army was advancing, taking village by village, expanding the kingdom and the empire of Rome. And in their expansion, cities was falling. Enemies begin to gather together. We can't defeat this army. They're highly trained. They're highly equipped. They move quickly. They got light feet. They're covered in armor. They got helmets. They got the breastplate. They got the sword. And that shield, they know how to use it. I'll say this real quickly, and I'm not intending to stay here. They cover 2/3 of themselves with the shield, but they leave 1/3 to cover their partner. And then a portion of them is exposed, but the guy next to them's got them covered too. If you're living like a lone ranger in the church and you're not covering anybody else, love covers a multitude of sin. You need to get with the program, because the only way we can protect ourselves is to provide cover for me and my brother. And know that my brother over here has got me covered too. We work in unity together. So they've got this shield. And so the enemy comes together and says, how are we going to defeat this army? They keep advancing. When we try to attack them, they just block it. They get in a group together. You've all seen 300. I know you have. They all get together and they block all the arrows that come against them. How are we going to survive? Someone goes, what if we destroy their shield? How do we do that? Well, if we catch our arrows on fire, and when it attaches to their shield, it burns their shield. Let's destroy their defense. Let's give it a try. So the enemy comes up with a plan to attack the Roman soldiers by taking pitch and taking tar and putting it on their arrow and lighting it. And they would have a whole group set, a whole line of guys ready with their arrows to attack. And they would fire their arrows. And guess what? They had success. Because you got an old dried out shield made of wood and dried out leather. And when those arrows would hit those shields would catch on fire. And so that Roman soldier would say, hey, we dodged them again. You smell something cooking? You smell what the rock been cooking? And you know what they did? They dropped their shield and began to stomp out the fire. They did what? They dropped their shield. Because the only way to get the fire out was to break the arrow off and then take the shield and hold it in the ground and smother the fire as the leather and the wood was on fire. And while they were fighting off fiery darts, the enemy was lined up with regular spears, javelins, and arrows, and began to fire at the Roman soldiers with their shields down. It wasn't the fiery arrows that killed the soldiers. It was the attack they didn't see coming. And what the Lord brought me here to tell you this morning is this. There is things that are obvious that you're going to fight against and you're going to see. You're going to see them coming from a mile away. You can't hide a fiery arrow flying through the sky coming at you. And you can protect yourself from the things you know is coming. But what the Lord wants you to be aware of is don't get so caught up in something so big that you miss the little things and they take you out. People get obsessed with a problem. They get obsessed with an issue, a major thing happening in their life. And while they're so focused on trying to take care of this one major thing, and I'm not minimizing the problem and I'm not minimizing the issue, but while they're trying to take care of that thing, they let go of all the other stuff and they don't see the small attacks happen. And the enemy says, I've just come to distract you with the big thing while I hit you with all these other areas. He warns us against principalities. What that means is principle in a series. It means an attack in a series. In other words, you have the strong man, the principal attack, and then a series that follows. And he warns us here against the principalities that will come against us. And this is what happens when fiery darts are fired at us. The fiery dart gets our attention and gets us distracted. And while we're over here acting like a fool, stomping on the ground, putting our shield down, then the enemy's attacking us in other forms. We're worried about a building, we forget about our prayer life. We're worried about building something up and we forget to witness. We forget to do the small things that are equally as important that made us who we are while we're dealing with major issues out there. When major issues come up, I want to tell you something. They are only a distraction for what the enemy is really trying to do. Because if the enemy wants to take you out, you're not going to see it coming. But the things you know, the things you see, the things you hear people complain about, fuss about, you go, oh, this is going to be big. This is going to be a major issue. Forget it. Ignore it. Because if the enemy wanted to take you out, he wouldn't let you see it coming. So what did these Roman soldiers do? They lost soldiers. They've been defeated. They're not used to losing. They gather together and said, we got to come up with a plan. They figured out a way to penetrate our defense. They caught us with our shield down. History tells us they would take these leather-covered shields of wood and they would dip it into creeks and riverbeds. They would saturate their shield to a point that it was saturated with water. It would be a heavier burden to carry, but when the enemy came to attack with a fiery dart, they didn't have to put their shield down because that leather was so water-soaked and that wood was so water-soaked, it would just go. And that's why the author says to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. I can't blow it out. If I stomp it out, I got to put my shield down and I'm left unprotected. The only way I can protect myself from the fiery darts is to have it saturated with water. And I want to preach to you just for a moment right now that the Lord is calling unto you to get yourself saturated with a few things. There's some things you have to have in your life to get saturated. Number one is water baptismal. It's obvious. We got to get saturated with water. But I want to tell you, we miss the point of water baptism. Yes, it's an ordinance from God. It's a command from our Lord Jesus Christ to be baptized. So out of obedience, we should be baptized when we give our heart and life to Jesus Christ. But in addition to baptism, there is some spiritual works that take place when you're baptized. 1 Peter 3 and 21 says, the light figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what we're speaking of here is of Noah. He says there in the next verse, in the fullness of God, he begins to speak there about Noah and that baptism does now save us. Here's what I want you to know about Noah. Noah had faith in the word he received from God. Noah built an ark because he had faith. Noah built an ark that had three layers in it, but it was one solid ark, three in one. Noah built an ark that was six times longer than it was wide, six being the number of humanity, saying that the three are contained bodily in. Noah said, I'm going to go into a door because there's only one way in, because there's only one name on heaven and earth whereby men might be saved. Noah went into a boat that was sealed completely with pitch because I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost. Noah went into a boat that God himself closed the door to because who can pluck me out of my father's hand? So Noah had faith in God, a shield of faith. He had faith in God who had gave him a promise. Rain is coming. When the rain fell, it rained on the just and the unjust. So here's what happens. What destroyed one group, the very same thing that brought destruction brought deliverance. He's a God that can judge and save at the same time. That's why it's hard for men to accept him. So as the rain begins to fall on the earth, it is cleansing and it is washing the dreaded sin of humanity that's all over the face of the earth. Because they murmured and complained, mocked and made fun of the promise that was given to Noah. Noah put his faith, the shield of faith on, and said, I've got faith in God, and I'm going to hold to the promise. He's safe inside the ark. So when the waters begin to fall from heaven, it lifted him up and separated him from the sin that was on the earth. So the same water that brought judgment and destruction was the same water that brought deliverance and brought him up to a new level and brought him to a higher place, put him on a mountaintop, put him on a high place in God, put him where he could plant vineyards and have a little wine and have a little drink and be merry and say, God has blessed me and I have survived what's killed everybody else and destroyed everybody else. So those that just laughed, mocked, set back, and made fun of the promise of God was destroyed by the very same thing that elevated, lifted up, and delivered. This house needs to understand that word and realize water baptism is more than just an outward sign of the death, burial, and resurrection. But when I get baptized, I'm laying it all down. I'm laying down my problems. I'm laying down my hurts. I'm laying down my addictions. I'm laying down my pains. I'm laying down my sufferings because I need God to elevate me. And I need God to lift me up. And I need God to take me to a higher level. So in baptismal, I lay it all down at the feet of the Lord and say, you take all this stuff away. I'm going to rise up my shield of faith and I'm going to let it be saturated with this water. And I'm going to put my, like Noah put his trust in God and entered into the ark and all the unbelievers perished and died. I'm going to be a faithful believer in your promise. I'm going to hold to the promise you have for the men and I'm going to saturate my faith with the water of deliverance. The second thing is this. There's only three. The word of God. Ephesians 5 and 6 says that he might be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water by the word. I say this loudly. I say this honestly. I say this with pure intention. And I say this with a clean heart. This church is blessed with the best word preaching, the best word pastorship that exists in America today. There's not a better orator, a better communicator, a deeper teacher than your pastor, Shane Warren. You have the ability that many do not have. Most churches don't have enough word in them to even dampen their shield. It's not even moist. It don't even have like a little clean towelette that gives it a little moisture to clean it off. It's not there, yeah. No, it's dry. And because it's dry, when the enemy attacks, the house burns down. But you've got so much word preached at you, you have no reason for your house to burn down. You have no reason for any fiery dart to even make it to you. It ought to be quenched the moment it's thrown your way. The devil ought to run and hide and say, we got to come up with a new scheme and a new tactic because fiery darts aren't going to work. They've been baptized and delivered, and now they've got enough word in them that when we come to attack, they're just like Jesus in the desert, and they're saying, it is written, and we're just going to have to flee because we don't even know what to do. What would it be like that because of your shield of faith, is covered with so much word of God that the enemy says, let's just leave them alone. Let them grow. Let them expand because we can't do nothing with them because they'll quench our darts every time. The third thing is this. You need to be saturated with the presence of God. There's something special about this place. There's something special about this town. There's something special about this region. There's something special about this group of people that is assembled here today. God is opening up the heavens. He is opening up right here above you. Blessings are flowing. Miracles are happening. His glory is rising. And you need to saturate yourself in the presence of God in an upper room. He said, tarry there until the promise comes. In other words, you stay there. You pray. You focus on me. until my presence falls from heaven and the Holy Ghost begins to fill you and baptize you with the Holy Ghost. This church needs to say, if we want to raise up the shield of faith, we're going to be water baptized. We're going to be delivered completely and holy. We're going to rise up and fill our hearts with the Word of God. But not only that, we're going to let the fire and the presence of God rest upon our life. Let the devil fight fire, because we're going to fight fire with fire. Let him throw a fiery dart at me. I'll quench it with what I've got, the presence of God living and dwelling in my life. I want the presence of God to be strong upon me, and you want the presence of God to be strong upon you. You need to hold on to the shield of faith. Don't drop it when the enemy attacks. Don't drop it when you see the fiery things come at you. Hold on to it. Saturate it with the presence of God. Be filled with the Spirit. I thought about this morning. I don't want to just survive an attack. I don't want to survive an attack. I want to walk away from an attack unaffected by it. Huh? Apostle Paul's gathering up sticks, making a fire in a barbaric land. A viper bites him. He doesn't get up and testify a month later. I got bit by a viper. I went to the doctor. I took some antibiotics. I was down for a week, but praise God, I'm here today. No, that wasn't his testimony. He said, I'm so saturated with the presence of God, I can take up serpents. I can drink up any deadly thing, and it shall not harm me. I'll pray for the sick, and they shall recover. So I don't even want to testify about I've been healed. I want to say how I was never even affected. Amen. Baptize this stage. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's water. It's okay. I want to quench every fiery arrow that comes at me. Mark 16 and 18. I added this. I'm sorry to the sound booth. But it says, take up serpents. Drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. I want to get to that point that I'm so saturated in God that what the enemy tries to throw at me won't even disturb me. So I want to give a word to you today. This is an easy one. Go make your t-shirts that says this. Last year's word to you was the circle of blessing. That song you ended on a while ago, if you'll get that ready. Circle of blessing. God will put a demand on the prophet, on the man of God. He'll put it to the people. The people will meet the need, and God will bring the resource. And your pastor's about to lay it on you heavy Wednesday night. That means you're about to see a miracle in your home and in your house. But I give you a new word for this time. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, the armies of Israel and the men of Israel are in a valley, and there's a giant in the land. And it says there in verse 24, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. When they saw the giant, it's easy to see a giant. It's easy to see a giant. In fact, David could see a giant. That's a fiery dart. But you see, it was just a little lady taking a bath that made him a liar, a thief, a murderer, brought death in his home, turned his children against him. You see the fiery darts, but while you're taking care of those, you miss the little things. But when David's a young man, the armies fled. But look at David's response in verse 48. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. The Lord told me to give you this word. It's very easy, simple. He said, do not flinch. Do not flinch. You people that love sports will remember one time Kobe Bryant's playing ball. He's playing defense. His opponent gets mad. He gets right up on his opponent as he's out of bounds. And that opponent takes the ball and acts like he's going to hit him with it. Gets this close to his nose. But Kobe was made of a different DNA. And he didn't even move. David seen the giant. He hurried up and ran to the giant. David didn't flinch. You know why he didn't flinch? Because out in a field somewhere, he had been saturated with the presence of God. Out in the field somewhere, he had filled himself with the Word of God. He had been baptizing himself in creek beds for years. His faith was strong in the Lord because he had killed bears, he had killed lions, he had killed anything that came against him, and this Philistine was nothing in his way. He ran from what ran to from what everyone else ran from. And the difference in the Ben and other churches in this area is that you're not going to be ordinary. You will not flinch. You're going to run and attack. You're going to take ground. I'll say it like this. Ordinary cannot be accepted in this church. Your pastor will be tormented by ordinary. He'll never be satisfied because there's too much greatness in this building to simply be ordinary, to simply hide in the ditch and run from fiery darts when you have the power to quench them. Don't flinch. Stand. You can go ahead and stand this morning. I want you to listen to your pastor as he gives you Wednesday night direction from God. Thank you, sir. As he begins to speak to you about a plan for your future. I want you to listen. I want you to be a Noah. Noah had faith in God and got in the ark. He got on board. How many in this room would raise your hand and commit to me right now that whatever plan the pastor has in his heart, whatever God has put in him, whatever burden that he is carrying, how many will lift your hand right now and said, in faith, I'm on board. In faith, I don't want to be the critical one sitting outside the boat that when the rain comes, I'm being destroyed by what's lifting the bend up. I want to be on board. I want to be a part. I want to rise up in faith. I want to believe with all my heart that God's going to do the miraculous in this house. Expansion is coming. Get ready. I said, expansion is coming. Get ready. Get ready for what God is about to do. And when you see problems arise and when you see burdens spoken of, when you see things that you think is impossible, do this. Don't flinch. Just keep marching forward and say, God's got this. If God gives the burden to the man of God, God will bring the resources to see it through. Trust him in the process and see what he will do. Let's lift our hands and thank him. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this chance. I thank you, God, for a word of encouragement that you're telling us you're going to bring us through. You're going to make us prosper. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. We're going to rise up and see great things done because you have called it forth. You will make it happen. We'll be obedient to your word. We'll be saturated in your presence. And we will change lives in this area in a way like never before. I want to ask you this morning, if you're here and you're not saved this morning, maybe you're a guest here and we thank you for coming. Maybe you've been here a few times and you've just not made that commitment. You want to get on board with Christ this morning? You want to get on board with what God is doing this morning? Will you raise your hand and say, I want to get on board. I want to give my life to Jesus today. In fact, I can't see everybody in the room, so maybe you'll just step out from where you're at and say, I want to come up. We want to pray with you. We want you on board with us. We want you going where we're going. We're going to new heights, to new levels. We're going to places of freedom and liberty and love. We want you to go with us this morning. Amen. Is Steve still in here? My buddy Steve. He already left. Is he still here? My roommate, Roomie, he'll know. Hey, amen. I'll call him in a minute. I got a word for him. Here he comes. Come up here for a minute. I won't leave you standing but a moment. Come here for a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you. Amen. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to pray with him. I'm going to tell him what the Lord has put on my heart. But if this is your heart as well, You say, God, I'm going to hijack his word. I'm going to make it my word. I'm going to make it my promise. I'm going to make it what you spoke to him, you spoke to me. Amen? Because soldiers cover each other with their shield. If it's his word, it's my word too. God said there's a hunger in you. That you've even prayed and you've been crying to him and you've been questioning some things and you said, God, I want it quicker. I want it faster. I want to grow. And God says he has birthed that in you because there's new levels coming in your life that even in your life you don't feel you're prepared for yet. You're not ready for yet. And you're saying, God, I just want to receive all that I can receive. And I want to be like a sponge and I want to absorb it in. There's wisdom and there's knowledge that you're seeking God for and you're asking God for. And God says, son, I am taking you to a new level in me. I am developing you and I am growing you for the season that is at hand. There's going to be a day of releasing where I release you to do the calling and the work that I've called you to do, but I am lifting you up above your time, says the Lord. I'm lifting you up above the season, says the Lord. I am expanding things and making things accelerate for my purpose to do my will in your life. Receive all that I give you, says the Lord, in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray with him right now, God, that he receives this word. You're advancing quicker than normal. You're moving faster than normal. You're doing things, God, at your pace, not our pace. And Lord, we thank you for what you're about to do in his life, God. I thank you what you're going to do through this pastorship, God, as he is pouring into the life of men and women. Lord, that knowledge and that wisdom is about to be released into this community. Hallelujah. Lord, I just feel it in the spirit right now. You're rising up generals and you're rising up sergeants and you're rising up leaders. And as pastor pours it into them, they're going to pour it into the community. They're going to pour it into their homes. They're going to pour it into their families. They're going to have block parties. They're going to begin to witness to all that are around them. They're going to get to work and people are going to come ask them for knowledge and wisdom and direction. And God, the gifts of the Spirit's going to flow in the marketplace. It's going to flow in the streets. It's going to flow at the ball games. It's going to flow up on the campus. God, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Ben will be the light of the community. The Ben will be the light of God. The heaven will open and the glory of God will shine through this church as you advance each and every one individually in the kingdom of God. We receive it because, Father, we will not flinch in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hijack his word and say, Lord, make it mine in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord praise this morning, Father. I know it's a holiday and you got things to go do. And I've kept you here way too long. It was supposed to be two services, so I just made it two in one. You gotta love me anyways, right? Hallelujah. Gotta get all the airtime I can get. I love you guys. I do. Our church prays for you on a regular basis on Monday night. When this situation rolls up with this last building issue, probably half of you don't even know what went on because your leadership handled it so well. We were praying, and a word went out in our church that said, God has a bigger plan than what that was. And I believe that. I believe that. You're transitioning to another level. It won't be long till you transition again. Just make change fun and go with it, because it's a wonderful journey, because you're going to have testimonies. It's going to be better than I've sat on this pew 50 years and seen God do great things. You're going to have a testimony. They took my pew away. I had to go to a theater, but God moved there. I had to go to a barn. God moved there. I had to set up a tent out on the interstate on land out there on 60 acres, and God moved there. God's got great things in store. Hold up that shield of faith. Fight off anything the enemy throws at you. Do not flinch. Amen. Give Pastor Steve a hand as he comes back.
Amen. Amen. Give Pastor Anthony a real, real well. Come on. Thank you, brother. Thank you. You know, it's easy. I'm not going to re-preach it. Don't worry. But it's easy when you're going through these changes to get tense, stressed. Trust me. I know, in these last few weeks. And for him to come in here this morning and preach this word and encourage us, we thank you, brother. We really do. We really do. Well, it's almost 12 o'clock, and it'll take some of you 20 minutes to wiggle out of the parking lot. We got so many cars out there this morning. But thank you for being here this morning. Please, please, please be here Wednesday night. We need you. We need all of you. Amen? And so be here Wednesday night. Go in the name of Jesus and be blessed. Amen.